You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Ready to relax in your dream bath retreat without the stress of figuring out every detail yourself? At the Home Depot, your bath upgrade is covered. Shop fully designed rooms and curated bath collections to go from inspiration to transformation fast. Savings of up to 40% will make it easier on your budget. And find everything you need, from tubs to toilets and all the tile in between, to bring your vision to life. The Home Depot. Dream baths built here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is another episode of the How to Hunt Deer podcast. My name is Dan. His name is Jason. Jason, good weekend.
It was busy. He's crazy busy. Crazy busy.
Yeah.
Actually, we made it up to by your dad's place yesterday. We had to go to a funeral and stuff. So
okay.
So yeah, we did that yesterday. One of my stepdaughters tumbled yesterday up in Milwaukee, and my daughter tumbled in Milwaukee on Saturday. My son had a basketball game yesterday afternoon, and my other daughter had a basketball game Saturday morning. So we covered, I don't know, probably, well it'd be three different states. So depending on how you look at it, it's crazy. You, did you have a good weekend?
It was the same. Funeral Friday, Saturday birthday parties and wrestling, Sunday wrestling all three of my kids, and then we didn't, these tumbling events, these wrestling events, any school event, you know how it is, it's like you're leaving the house early and you're not getting home until it's too late to do anything, you know what I mean? It's like you're getting home at like 5 or 6,
right?
And then you're like, well, I don't want to start any projects. I don't want to do anything. And then the next thing you know, you're behind on Monday morning. Like, dude, we need to do so much laundry. The house needs clean. The kitchen looks like shit. You know how it is. Basically, we're coming and going so fast that nothing gets done. And then it just all of a sudden you have to be like, boom, we got to stop. Let's clean the house and then let's get back at it type of deal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty much get back at it. And then, you know, this week, same thing. I mean, we're going in two different directions every single night, you know, so.
Yep.
And then you just, you know, Sunday comes around and you just hope for a couple hours of me time.
Right.
Not even me time, but just a relaxed time. So, I almost have
given that up, to be honest with you. I've almost given up me time. Like, long as my me time is me in the car, even the kids are in it, just almost silence driving back and forth between events. That's my time.
That's what my wife said last night. She's like, I actually enjoy the time in the vehicle, you know, because that's our time, you know.
Exactly.
It's crazy, crazy busy, but it's crazy busy is not a bad thing either. So
no, no.
But I do have a story about my number one target buck. As luck would have it, you know, Illinois season ended last Sunday. So what, mm-hmm. 18th or whatever it was. By Tuesday, he decided he'd show back up, and then, you know, he had to rub it in my face, you know. So twice I got his pictures within 4 hours, and it's just crazy. And then, you know, of course, Mother Nature's been pretty brutal. I don't know about you, but it's been pretty darn cold. So
Right.
Just hoping, you know, with these couple deer that I've gotten on camera in the last week or so that they can survive. So,
yeah. So two things there. One, he's alive and he's in the area. Two, right. Hopefully he sheds on your property. You know what yep. I mean? Like,
yep.
I mean, do you think you have enough food to keep him till he sheds?
I think I have enough food, but I think I also am in the spot where he winters. Last year I did find a shed. So, I think the one drawback maybe with this season versus last year is the extreme cold that we have. Mm-hmm. He may look for better cover. So yeah. that's the only thing that I've kind of been, I'm not going to push that property for sure just to find his right. sheds. You know, I'd love to find them, but I think there's going to be better cover for bedding in this extreme stuff. So,
right. Well, if anything, I think these cold temps are just going to make these deer shed earlier. I feel like when there's a lot of expanding and contracting, I'm guessing for the next handful, like I looked at the weather this morning and I believe the next 5 to 7 days are going to be colder than average. And then we're going to go through a warming period and then cool back down again. And I think temperature actually plays a role in the expansion and contraction of the antler itself will help with it falling off earlier. So colder temps mean early shedding. That's what I've
I've always thought that same, you know, especially when you have the extreme temperatures, you know, it was just a week and a half or so ago that we had temperatures where the ground was pretty much thawed and we were able to be outside in sweatshirts. So that extreme change. And then now we're going to be in that period of probably 3 weeks where we're well below freezing. So,
right.
We'll see.
Right. Yeah. I'm hoping to get the boys. My oldest boy and the neighbor boy out ice fishing. Finally, I feel like it's been cold enough for long enough now to where, it was cold and then it thawed and then the water thawed. And then now it's been cold now for, we're just going on 2 weeks. So I'm going to take a drill out there and I'm going to go test the pond, get them out ice fishing a little bit, have some fun there. Maybe not this weekend, but next weekend. And other than that, man, it's just wrestling back. It's wrestling season. We got we're going to the state capitol in Des Moines this weekend for one of the biggest all girls tournaments in the state where my daughter will probably run into some girls that she's going to wrestle at state. So I'm hoping it's a tough tournament where she gets an idea of the pressure that is required to be, you know, to win state or to place top three. And so she's placed eighth, fifth. And this year, I honestly don't, unless all of a sudden her bracket becomes just stacked, I see placing third or higher a real possibility for her this year. So hopefully all the hammers decide to go to different weight classes we pick the right weight class to go to. Cause you're going to have to wrestle somebody really tough at some point.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping it's someone she's already wrestled this year or beat. So we'll see.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, we talk about our kids in sports a lot, you know, and one of the things that like I've had to juggle, and I don't know about you so much, is my son loves sports and he loves to play them and everything, you know, but putting in that extra work is sometimes that's where dad has to kick him in the butt a little bit, you know, and I don't know how to. I've been trying to toss that around, like how much do you push, how far do you push it, and then how much do you back off? Do you make it hey, this is your decision, this is what we're sticking with? Do you, you know, because like right now he's in the middle of winter workouts for football. Right. Nothing mandatory at all, but they have a thing where they're going to allow these kids, if they make, I think, 12 of these workouts, and then they get signed up for league by the end of March or something, that they can go to Chicago Bears training camp. And I thought it'd be kind of cool. I thought it'd be kind of cool. You know, like, hey, dude, let's aim for that this year. And right away, that first camp or first day of practice, he's like, I don't want to play this year. And then, you know, then there was the mindset change by, so I was on a Friday, and then by Monday, you know, we're all gung-ho and ready to play. And then it changes again, you know, where I don't know if he made the decision or he was with his mom and she made the decision, but he didn't go to the last one, you know, so we've already missed two out of three. And it's like, well, my wife, two of her cousins are from out in your dad's area, and they made the NFL. And so I met one of them yesterday for the first time, you know, and I literally just want to have him sit down with my son and be like, dude, if you want to play anywhere in life outside of this, you know, outside of like, you know, your little summer rec programs and stuff, do you know what the work is, you know, what entails with all of it? So it's because we go back and forth with, especially like the tumbling thing with the girls, you know, is like, is tumbling is that it, you know, after you hit like the teenage era, is that it, or are you going to be an Olympian, or, you know, are you going to go to college, right? Or I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough, especially when the kids, they bounce back and forth between how interested they are in something. Like, I think right now my son, my oldest son, he doesn't know really what he wants other than I don't want to go to school ever again. Like, he hates school and he just wants to go outside fishing and hunting. And I'm okay with that, obviously, but you got to get an education and you can't just be a hunter all your life, right? So you got to do something else with it. So it's being a sporting parent or an activities parent in this day and age is a lot different than it was. I have a different approach, and then we'll get into today's topic, but my approach is you're either in or you're out. If you're in, then you're in. If you're out, then you're out. And so because I like, schedules are very important. And so I will take you to your practices no matter how many time, you know, how many times a week it is. I'm down to do it, but I'm not going to do this back and forth thing. So if you're in, you're in. If you're out, you're out, and we'll do something different. So there's that. All right. Why don't you, before we get into this idea I have for a topic today, why don't you go ahead and tell us about our partner?
Yeah. So Code Blue Sense, they have real and synthetic, and they have everything from detergents to your sprays and spray your equipment down. They have the rope-a-dope system, which we talk about that every week, you know, and
every week,
you know, every single week we talk about it, and making the mock scrapes. And it is still something that I'm getting inventory of deer, you know, because of using mock scrapes still to right now. And, you know, I will periodically through until hunting season starts, and then it'll just ramp right back up. So it's not like they don't use the scrapes, you know, during the off season, because this, so it's definitely worth something or worth checking into. So I'd go to codeblueSense.com, and we do have a discount code of 20%, and it's HTH20. Go check them out, guys, because the whole line is amazing, and they've come out some bundle packages and stuff for this year too. So
absolutely. Real and synthetic deer urine, scent elimination products, the rope-a-dope mock scrape kit. Like you said, those combo packages are all out now. Visit codeblueSense.com. All right. So my buddy sends me a text message late last night, and it's this. You know, sometimes what happens, especially when you're talking about budgets for like the state of Iowa or Illinois or really anything, everybody's trying to figure out what's the most efficient way to run a government or run where they can save money, where they can spend more, or where they need to spend more or less of it. And there was recently an investigative group of people that had been put together to investigate whether or not the Department of Agriculture should absorb the Department of Natural Resources, and to see if there's anything overlapping there, and to merge those into one organization or one part of the government. I look at that, and I don't know what, you know, I know I'm springing this on you. There was no research done, but I look at something like that and I go, that's kind of scary, putting someone who is used to treating animals like a commodity and all of a sudden absorbing a natural resource, being responsible for a natural resource. I look at that and I go, that's probably not that that new organization or that new department would not have the best interest for the natural resources, right? I don't know. Like, I just don't think that's a good idea. I feel like the Department of Natural Resources does some amazing things and is heavily focused on the benefit and the future of all natural resources in whatever state it is, especially deer, right? So when I think Department of Natural Resources, I think, you know, allocating tag allocations. I think tag allocations. I think trying to secure and maintain wetlands for wildlife, public lands, making sure that, you know, there's a lot of effort that's put into driving around the state, taking deer numbers, pheasant numbers, like doing water control, like making sure the water is clean, a whole bunch of different things. And then I look at, and I'm talking about deer specifically now, I look at the Department of Agriculture and their connection with the Farm Bureau. The Farm Bureau doesn't like deer. They want deer to be dead because they don't want to, like, insurance companies don't want to have to pay any money to collisions, like deer collisions. They don't want to have to pay out any money for crop damage. They don't want to have to pay out, whether that's deer. And to be honest with you, my gut tells me that yes, deer do participate in crop damage, but raccoons almost play a bigger role in crop damage. I bet you if you sat in your blind every day for an entire year, there would be more raccoons damaging your food plots than deer, honestly, like especially knocking down stalks of corn and things like that. I've seen raccoons destroy acres of ground. And so when you have somebody who's solely focused on agriculture absorb someone who is solely focused on natural resource, I feel like somebody's not going to be getting a fair shake, and it's probably going to be the natural resource.
Man, you are talking about a topic that my wife and I actually talked about when we were heading to Iowa, and it actually stemmed from more of the CWD talk than anything. Yeah. We saw a few dead deer alongside the road, and then we started talking about CWD, which you and I talked about last week a little bit, mm-hmm. in regards to like knowing whether I've seen one or not, and I can identify one. So my wife asked the same question, and then we started talking about the Farm Bureau and everything, and I find it funny. I mean, I live in the country. I grew up in the country. That's how I am, you know, so I've always been in support of farmers and everything. My insurance company requires me to be a member of the Farm Bureau. And, you know, it's a kind of a double-edged sword because, you know, as much as I want to support the farmers and we need farmers and all of that, one of the first things like I explained to my wife was like with CWD, it was, let's go in and let's wipe deer out. Right. So a lot of farmers were just allowing the DNR in. And here in Illinois, they would just hire sharpshooters. They would set up a ground blind and put up a corn pile and just wipe them out. Well, of course, the Farm Bureau loved that, you know, because the less deer there are, the less car collisions there are, the less crop damage there is. And in hindsight, it really just like becomes a me versus you type battle, because not only are farmers on board with this because they're convinced that, you know, deer are causing all this damage, right? And then you have, I don't want to say city people claiming that all these car collisions are happening because of deer, you know, but then you have farmers who are wiping out fence lines to get rid of deer in places that they bed and places that they, you know, habitat in. So it really just becomes a me versus you thing, and mm-hmm. and it's more opinion based than it is science based, I think. And I say that because like a lot of the lobbyists, like doing all this research on these individual states that I've been working on, doing all the research is it's lobbyists that are really just my voice versus your voice. And then mm-hmm. if you look at where these voices are coming from and what organizations they're tied to and who is tied in with this one and that one and who's friends with this one, it really becomes a demise of like what our purpose is in that conservation. So when you do take those two organizations, then I'm just going to say, because I don't know how long, and I'd have to look, but how long the Farm Bureau has had ties with, like, so my insurance company, how long have they had ties together? You know, and is that strictly based on, like, we have this tie because of car collisions with deer, or is this a tie because of real estate? You know, and where are we hiring, or where we want these lobbyists to put their efforts?
Right. Yeah. It's man, it's crazy. The more you think, the more you learn about how the government actually works and how lobbyists actually work and who is hiring the lobbyists, whether it is on the natural resource side, because natural resource organizations definitely have lobbyists, the Farm Bureau and the anti deer, right? Community, like the Farm Bureau, they definitely have lobbyists and things like that. So you learn about things like that. And when you're making decisions for wildlife based off of money and not science and data, it just becomes real muddy and gross, because this time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. I don't want to get
into politics. I honestly don't want to.
Well, yeah, I was actually going to mention something about that, about the amount of protesters that I saw just on my way through Iowa, hanging off of bridges and stuff. And I know we don't want to go down the political road of things, but a lot of times when you see that stuff, it's not a positive. It's not because they have the knowledge. It's not because, you know, they're actually for their party. A lot of times it's just because they're against that party, you know?
Yes.
And it's, and that's the worst part of it. It's like, if the insurance companies or Farm Bureau don't like deer because they don't like to pay out for the collisions, so automatically they don't like hunters, right? Hunters aren't doing enough. So then we have to hire somebody outside of that and spend money, which makes a whole nother organization to eliminate deer so they don't have to pay out money. And in the big scheme of things, I mean, if you look at the Illinois or Wisconsin or Texas or any of these places that have had CWD, can anybody step forward and say that they have a clear-cut answer on how to get rid of CWD and what the best solution to it was?
No.
I mean, it just, to me, it's, I don't want to say it's just wasted dollars, but where are we with it?
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, banshee flying, space mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Yeah. No, dude, I agree. And I think this is the crazy part. I think that it's just as on, let's say for CWD, for example, there's been millions and millions and millions of dollars generated for CWD research, over 10, 15 years now. And there has not been an answer for what makes CWD. I mean, they kind of get CWD, but nothing has really changed about it. And so then all of a sudden people will forget about CWD, just like people will forget about whatever hot topic, buzzword, political, natural resource, whatever, conservation. Do you remember back in the day when there was the big hashtag hunting is conservation movement? And yes. Everybody was like, dude, I'm a conservationist. I hunt, blah, but they don't do shit, right? They just say I'm a hunter, right? That's not true. Like, hunters are not conservationists, you know? Like, what other than killing a deer, what do? Nothing, right? So you're not a conservationist. So, and then that's my opinion anyway. But when it comes to, like, spending money, and we talked a little bit about this last week, like, I don't know if it was last week or a couple weeks ago. Dude, I don't know. There's not enough information out there for anybody to make a educated decision. On top of that, nobody's working together in any aspect of wildlife. The insurance companies are not working with the Department of Natural Resources saying, hey, what do you think we can do together to do that? And if they are working together, it's in the benefit of the insurance companies, the Farm Bureau, because it's just like, hey, how about we introduce crossbows? How about we introduce a rifle season? How about we introduce an extended antlerless season? And it's only about like killing more deer, killing more animals, right?
Well,
and so then how do you do that? How does Jason go, if you were in charge, if I said, hey, Jason, everybody wants bigger antler deer, right? So we got to stop killing 2 and 3 year olds. We got to stop doing it. We got to get we got to have this. So we need to change the rules and regulations. And then you're fighting the insurance companies and the Farm Bureaus of the world saying, they don't care about age structure or antler size or anything like that. All they want to do is make the population smaller. But nobody's talking about, hey, let's look about where these collisions are happening, and then let's maybe do habitat improvement programs further away from major roads so that deer stay away from roads instead of having to cross. And then you also have to just realize, listen, they were here before us. Animals were here before us. We are the ones who put the roads across bridges and their travel corridors through water and ag country, and we're responsible for that. So it's kind of just like I've hit deer before.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do, right?
I
wish more people would talk to each other.
Yeah, this kind of all ties back to the conversation my wife and I had yesterday. And so she didn't realize that there were outfitters in Illinois. And I said, oh my gosh, at one point, Illinois was like, you know, with the Golden Triangle and all that, it was a thriving state as far as big bucks and stuff. And as soon as you get a politician involved and a dollar sign behind it, you know, you can lose a lot of that real quick, mm-hmm. because Illinois is still over the counter for non-residents. There are no antler point restrictions. There are so many things that have just taken the herd, and it doesn't matter what size that deer is. And then think about a bobcat tag here. I see more bobcats on trail camera or in person than probably any other state that I visit. And it is not talked about, I think, enough. And they allocate for 2,000 bobcats in a year, 2,000 in the entire state of Illinois. You know, and I'm just sitting there like, yeah, but you still take my money each time, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like I get a refund on it. Each year, you know, for 10, 12 years now, I've applied for this tag and I've gotten two of them, but they still take my money. Same with every time you apply for a turkey tag. So like right now, third lottery is open for Illinois. Well, each time you get, you know, rejected on it, they got to get their finder's fee, you know, they got to get their transaction fee and all that stuff. So how many times is it just about that dollar? And I really think there's no science-based evidence with it. You know, my wife asked me, going back to the CWD thing, she's like, so how do you know if one has it? I mean, you can see signs of a deer having CWD, but if it's early stages and you shoot a deer that's got CWD, there's nothing saying that you can't eat that meat, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so where are they benefiting by having sharpshooters come out and take these deer out of the herd? Just so it doesn't spread from there?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mismanagement.
Yeah. Here's another one. In the city or in the urban areas of a neighboring city next to where I live, they have started investigating sharpshooters. Well, they already have an urban deer hunting program. So here's the thing. You have a urban deer hunting program where there are areas that people can bow hunt. It's a bow hunt only, urban deer areas, but then nobody wants to allow hunters on the property. So instead, the government's going to force their way in and start popping deer, whether the landowner wants it or not, done mm-hmm. or not. And so yep. now you're not only pissing off hunters, because hunters want to hunt. And right. like, if you're a landowner, you might as well let a hunter hunt. Because if you don't let a hunter hunt on your property in this urban environment, and really what it is, it's like the way this, there's like a river that runs through this city, and on each side of it, there's a whole bunch of homes and like wooded areas and pockets of deer movement. Well, it's a very liberal city. And usually when you say the word liberal in hunting, they don't mesh that well. And right. so there's a lot of people that are like, no, absolutely not. I like looking at the deer. I want deer on my property. But guess what the government's going to do? They're going to do whatever they want to do. And they're going to shoot deer on your property and then drag it off or things like that. And so it's like, why not let people hunt on your property? Because they're going to do you know, back in the day when they had this program, like a hunter would go in and hunt, they would kill the deer. They couldn't gut it in someone's yard. They have to take sure. it whole out and then go find a different place to gut it. And usually they'd just drive into the country, drop it in a ditch, and then, you know, gut it there. Yeah. But that wasn't working for people, and people were having a problem with hunters. So the sharpshooters come in. The sharpshooters were popping, spotlighting deer at night, shooting them, because there was a big complaint about people not wanting these deer to, you know, like, I don't want to see a deer get shot. I don't want to see a dead deer. And then right. when they shot the deer, they would take a plastic bag and they would put it over top of the head of the deer, so that if for some reason someone drove by, they would not see the eyes of the dead animal and feel sorry for it. Mm-hmm. Crazy. Yeah. To me, I look at that and I go, a dead, like a bag over a deer's head, almost seems like it had been tortured to death rather than shot and killed. You know what I mean? It's like, it just blows my...
Yeah, it's just more disturbing. I mean, yeah, exactly. You're just adding to it. You know, like, I yes. did something wrong. Look at here, you know.
Yeah, now I'm trying to cover my tracks.
Right. To me, it's just going back to the conservation part of things. Okay, so being a conservationist, I mean, really, it stems further than just managing deer and managing right. other wildlife, because we're actually managing the natural resources that are, you know, the ground that's there, whether it's putting in food plots, whether it's managing the trees and invasive species, or whether it's the animals that are on that landscape. That's conservation. But now when right. you start to take conservation and different organizations, you yeah. know, whether just say it's hunting, okay? If you take conservation and you put hunting into that scheme of things, conservation is going to look differently to somebody that hunts versus not hunts, you know, or doesn't hunt, you know. And right. when I say that, it's like you just said, you know, people love to see deer in their backyard. So do I, but I also love to hunt them, you know. Mm-hmm. And me managing deer is different than managing the natural resource. I'm going to go in and I'm going to plant stuff that looks good. I'm going to plant stuff that's non-invasive, and I'm going to plant stuff that's, you know, gets fall color or maybe produces some fruits. And it's not all about planting it to the deer. That's a conservationist. When you look at, okay, hey, Dan, you know, you can make $5 every time you click on this and you submit your survey or whatever it is, you're going to go to click on $5 every single time. And then that's the same thing as if, you know, hey, Jason, when you need this insurance, you have to add this Farm Bureau membership, or you have to mm-hmm. do this. I mean, there's so many ways that they just grab your money. But what is your money going to? So this goes back to a couple of weeks ago when you were talking about what organizations do you support. Well, I think first and foremost, we need to become educated within our governments, within our states, and know where our tax dollars are going, know where our right. hunting fees are going, and start there first. And if you don't like where that money's going, then I got the news for you. The other organizations aren't necessarily going to good things either.
Yeah, that's a fact, dude. That's a fact. Again, I like how we've ended the season with these types of conversations, because it is important. If you want your kid, like if you want to be able to hunt next year, the year after that, 5 years, 10 years, or you want your child to hunt or grandchildren to hunt, these are all things that are extremely important. And I look at this, and the Farm Bureau these insurance companies, they're not, or whoever is trying to increase tag allocations in like, or shoot as many deer as humanly possible type of organizations or companies or businesses or whatever, they're not ever asking, hey, I wonder what the hunters think. Let's work closely with the hunters and try to do this. They're not doing that. And so, so when my buddy sends me that text last night, I look at this and I go, they're trying to sneak this shit through again. Mm-hmm. They're trying to sneak stuff through. And so that's why it's very important in your state to be somewhat connected. The one thing that I really am I have friends who are on top of it, right? And so I'm not necessarily on top of it, but I have friends that are on top of it. And there's organizations like Iowa, for example, has the Iowa Bow Hunters Association, and they're really good about keeping up to date on a whole bunch of different like rules and regulations that are trying to get passed. And then they're like, hey, listen, just to let everybody know, we got this going on. And then then there's action items that are involved. And then you can email a state representative or a senator or something like that and just be like, hey, this is BS. I do not like it. And I don't want you to vote. This is how I would like you to vote on it. And so a lot of that gets snuck through. And in the busy world that we all live in, it's sometimes hard to keep up to date with all of these things, right? Especially like what we said, how am I supposed to just sit down and dedicate a day to research when I got three kids, I got a job, I have all of these things and activities that I live through in a day? If you really care, you'll do that.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Well, and not only that, but I mean, even just in your home state, how many times year in and year out, your rules and regulations just for hunting itself have changed? Mm-hmm. You know, here in Illinois, we've introduced, you know, crossbows, we've introduced, you know, rifles now. You know, we used to have handgun and muzzleloader and shotgun and then youth shotgun and then archery. And then, you know, so looking at just all that stuff in a nutshell, that's a lot in itself. I mean, to know what days you can go out. I mean, it's crazy. It's just crazy the amount that we have to introduce to cater to everyone. You know, this crowd likes this, this crowd likes that, you know, and to me, the sickest part of it is it's just a money grab. That's all it is, you know, because there's no reason that you can't still have the natural resources, still be a conservationist and enjoy the sport of hunting. There's no reason you can't, but there's no reason that you can't be supportive of your farmers either. Mm-hmm. And be a hunter. I laugh because I have some really good friends that farm several thousands of acres, and they are very gracious to me on letting me hunt some property. but they are very, for the management of CWD. And I say that lightly, heavy, I guess. So either way, let's look at it this way. They allow 10 deer taken on one of their farms by a sharpshooter every year. And, you know, to me, 10 deer is a lot, you know, because how many deer are in a square mile? Just say if it was 5-6 deer on average in those counties or whatever, you just wiped out a square mile of deer plus some, right? Almost mm-hmm. 2 square miles of deer. But they also love the hunters. They love eating the meat. And it kind of is like a double-edged sword. Like, do you let the DNR on there to sharpshoot because you want that in your back pocket or because you really feel that deer are destroying your crops? And I have a hard time with that.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's something that needs to be thought about. And, you know, this is just an extension of last week's where we're talking about getting involved. Right. And getting involved doesn't mean you like pick a conservation effort and roll with it. It also means getting involved where you should probably start looking at the rules and regulations of your state, start getting involved, especially during the off season, right? Like yeah. Football's over, dude. Maybe you watch basketball, baseball hasn't started yet, things like that. And we're in a period of time where the season's over. Nobody really wants to think about deer hunting. Everybody's starting to get ramped up for turkey and things like that. But we do have to start talking a little bit more about the rules and regulations, or what's going to happen is they're just going to continue to sneak shit in to this, to the point where there's going to be so many tags allocated and then we're going to be like, oh, this is actually really upsetting. But it's because, and this is the government in a nutshell, sneak it in. Now, all of a sudden, people are so angry that they weren't paying attention in the first place because their lives are so busy. Now they want to try to undo all of this stuff. And undoing it is harder than paying attention. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. I mean, we'll look at Nebraska. I mean, we hunted Nebraska and we hunted it because it was a very affordable state. We could go in and shoot $2. It was a great thing, great experience, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden there's not the deer there for you to shoot. And then they go backpedaling and then they have to make, you know, oh, the mule deer are disappearing. There's not very many to hunt. And it's becoming like a 1 in 2 year process in Nebraska as a non-resident to get a tag in certain regions. Yeah. It's the same with Colorado. You know, you start to see the mismanagement of the natural resource. It was all about greed and money.
And that's why we need, in my opinion, the Department of Natural Resources and proper funding for that to maintain wildlife and things like that. So I, on the Nine Finger Chronicles recently, I did a podcast about how the state of Iowa, for example, 64% of Iowa residents in 2010 voted for an amendment to the Iowa Constitution to permanently fund wildlife and state parks and access to hunting grounds and public grounds. And our politicians haven't turned that on yet. And it's been 16 years. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm really frustrated about, I just found this out through some research.
Yeah.
And so that was in 2010, 16 years. It would have generated $3 billion for the state of Iowa, but the politicians can't agree on how to turn it on. Well, it's easy. Just turn it on. It's everything's already laid out. You don't need to add or take away things from it. Just turn it on. So, yes.
It's just sad. Anytime that there's a dollar amount or somebody thinks they can put a dollar on it, the eyeballs roll and everything. And then the wheels start spinning and what can I do with this money and where can I put it? And
I'll end with this though, because budgets are important, right?
Right.
Tax dollars, your tax dollars, my tax dollars go to funding the Department of Natural Resources, funding the Department of Agriculture. And, you know, where science and data and all of that stuff is important, and it does lead to decision. And we just need to follow through with that and not be influenced by the outside dollars that are coming right. in to this as well. So you got to go here, but I just want to say, I promise next week we're going to start getting into more of how to do deer hunting stuff, right? And I feel like I want to talk about, you know, shed hunting. I want to talk about things that we've seen in these winter months, as far as deer behavior, as far as, you know, habitat. I want to talk a little bit more about habitat improvement this time of year, how to specifically. You know, I know you do more than I do of habitat improvement. So I want to start picking your brain about how to specifically create a bedding area or prepare ground for a food plot and all these upcoming things that are going to be so important to, you know, to this. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's good. I think that if you do still have trail cameras out there, you know, there's definitely a lot you can be watching with your deer herd injuries and stuff like that. And I will say there's obviously still states that are open to hunting. And, you know, we talk about the Midwest a lot, you know, so for those that are still open, you know, go out and fill those tags and, you know, hit Dan up with some questions or anything, you know, especially if you're in a southern state or another state that is open. It'd be nice to hear from you and know what it is like to hunt in February, March timeframe, whatever it may be. Yep. So kind of curious on, I don't know much about it. So,
yeah. And that's crazy because the South, there's parts of the South right now that are either in their rut or just getting ready for the rut. So, it's crazy how, you know, from places like Florida where they have a July rut to, you know, October ruts or like mid to early October ruts to all the way down into January, February, even I think there's this is what blows my mind. While I'm shed hunting and our season has been done for 2 months, there's other states in the U.S. that are just wrapping up in March even. So, it's crazy. Yeah. The spread of that. I think what we got to do is we got to try to get somebody on, from the South here in the next couple weeks and knock out an interview with them. But, do us a huge favor, go to Apple Podcast or iTunes, Spotify, wherever you download and listen to the How to Hunt Deer podcast. Just a comment, even if it's as simple as I like this podcast, that would be awesome. Give us a 5-star review that lets everybody know that this is in fact educational and entertaining and, things like that. Also, we do have a YouTube channel now. So go to YouTube, search How to Hunt Deer, and you're going to find our podcast and subscribe to the podcast as well, because here in a couple months, we're going to start getting outside. Even though, I don't think I told you this, March 25th, I got my knee replacement surgery.
I was going to ask you that.
Yep. Okay. So I finally got it scheduled. So I'll be incapacitated for, I don't know how long, hopefully not too terribly long. Like they told me it's an in and out procedure. I'm going to get it done, and they're going to have me up and walking either on a walker or crutches that same day. And then it's rehab from there. Right. So, I'm hoping that I'm not going on a Western hunt this year. However, I am going to be planning on working hard, rehabbing my body to the point where I can climb a tree stand in the fall. So wish me luck, fingers crossed.
What's turkey season look like? Are you going to attempt it, taking the kids, or?
If I attempt it, I'm going to be 1 month. It's actually going to be like 2 weeks, 3 weeks post-op.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll probably wrap up real hard and then crutch my way into an area, sit on a chair and maybe have somebody, I'll call and have somebody basically sit with my kids.
Yeah.
Like one of my buddies or something. And I don't know, dude, like I got to figure that out because my boy, he really wants to go turkey hunting. And so maybe I'll have him go sit with my stepdad and I'll just call or find something to do. I don't think I'm going to be so incapacitated that I'm not going to be able to like sit down. I have some knee braces left over from when I've had like the isolation ones when I had my ACL replacements. Yeah. So I got to figure it out, is what I'm getting at. So I'm, I don't know. I got to figure it out. So,
all right.
Other than that, go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Good vibes, Jason. Hopefully you enjoy the rest of this week and, stay warm out there. Thank you for listening to the How to Hunt Deer podcast, and we'll talk to you next.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
Sweet.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.